I said we're cutting that now. Might as well. Are we ready?
Yes, we are ready.
You're gonna whack me in the face with that, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Just wait. I'm gonna. It should give us a countdown. All right.
Yay!
Yay! Woo! Whoop! Whoop! Yeah, whoop! Whoop! Whoop!
Yay!
Yay! Ow! Oh my god!
Hello everyone!
So, this is our pre-podcast waffly bit live on Facebook! Whee!
Yay! Because yes, we're excited!
We are, because history has been made. Not the what the history has been made, not what the history is today, what the hell took so long history has been made today.
Yay!
Australian Parliament has passed the same-sex marriage equality legislation amendment, which means same-sex couples, everyone, you can get married in Australia, probably from early next year, because it's still going to get signed off. But yay!
Yay! Yes, I'm so excited for my friends!
Oh, yes. Everyone, everyone out there, love has won. Love is love. It is all so fantastic. We are very, very happy about it.
We are. I am so happy. And if you know me on Facebook, you would have seen me doing a ugly cry.
It was not ugly. It was not ugly.
Yeah, so I took a photo because this is a really monumentous occasion. And yes, as Travis said, history has been made. Woo! History has been made. We are a part of history. We
yes.
will. History. Doesn't sound right.
What was that?
We're all history. History. Oh, God.
Yes. Yesterday.
Sorry. I'm completely sober, too, I might add.
Yeah.
I am. I'm just really excited.
It is so good. So, for everyone out there that's fought so hard to get here, congratulations so much. It's just unfortunate. It's had to go through all this and take so long.
You spin me right round, baby, right round.
And
like
we got
a
there.
Record, baby. Okay, hi.
And it's awesome. And we actually have to go record the actual podcast now because
we
know it's late. Sorry, lots been happening.
Lots been happening.
So much has been happening. But we couldn't let this go without a big woohoo.
Hell no. Seeing how we did live podcast when we did the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Which indeed. We all voted yes for.
Yes, indeed.
Woo. I'm just really excited.
Yep.
I can't wait to hug and kiss my girlfriend. She's not home yet.
She'll get mobbed. That's
She'll
fine.
Get mobbed. She's so excited. She is just over the moon.
So we are. It's just so good. So good. And we should probably finish this and get on with the podcast and get it recorded.
We actually should.
We should.
It's been such a busy day today.
So
busy, long day. Hi, God, that's my face.
And now it's time for. Should we just usually sing the podcast theme?
History.
What the history? History. 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 Yeah. We probably just lost some fans.
We love you. Please come back.
Come back. Come back. We won't do that again. We promise. Bye.
Bye.
And if you're listening on the podcast, you probably found this very confusing. If you have not seen our live stream, go to our Facebook page and this will probably make more sense.
Or it may not.
And now.
We love you.
We're going to do What the History.
We are.
Yay. What the. Hello and welcome to What the History, the final What the History for 2017.
Yes!
I am Trevor Holland.
And I am Susie Holland. Still coming down, probably not from the same-sex marriage. Yay.
Yay.
Yes.
Again, if you heard the podcast version of what we just did, go to our Facebook page and it'll make more sense. And for the final episode of 2017, we are doing our inaugural What the Christmas?
Yes, we thought about doing some customs and traditions around the world.
Bump the desk.
Sorry, I'm bumping the desk again. Oh, God, I haven't done that for months. I must be so excited that I don't know what I'm doing. Story of my life, people. As I was saying, we thought about doing a particular podcast dedicated to the some traditions around the world of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to, of course, give lots of respect to these countries as well. We are not here to, for the want of a better word, hang on them. I can't think right now.
That's okay. Or,
because, you know, we respect everyone.
Look, whatever you do, however you celebrate.
Unless they don't deserve our respect, but that's a whole different story.
Yes. Whatever you do to celebrate the holiday season, as long as you're not doing anything nasty to anybody else, we totally respect what you're doing.
That's right.
Yes, we're going to be having a few laughs in this episode because it does seem unusual to us. That doesn't mean that we don't respect it.
That's right. What's unusual to us is very usual to these different countries and what they do, and we very much respect that.
Indeed,
we do. I just think they're rather interesting.
Mm-hmm. There's some great stuff out there. I think there's stuff out there that we're going to implement here. But let's get to that. So, Susie... Where are you taking us first up? Oh, by the way, we've got about four each, so there you go.
Yeah, okay, yes. Firstly, we're taking a trip to Catalonia, which is a region of Spain. The Catalan people have what's known as a Tio de Nadal. Now, please excuse my really crap pronunciations. In English, it translates to the Christmas log, which is a small, hollowed-out log of wood, and it's propped up on its two front legs with a very happy, smiling face, which has been painted on the log, and from the 8th of December, which is the feast of the Immaculate Conception, Catalan families give the log a few tasty morsels to eat, like bits of, I think, lollies and bits of things that can actually stay preserved, and they feed that to the Christmas log, and they give the Christmas log a warm blanket.
Aww.
Oh, it's very sweet. It's gorgeous. On Christmas Eve or day, the Tio gets put halfway into a fire and is beaten with sticks, so it may give up its tasty morsels, out of its back passage to the family who are also singing to it. So they're hitting it with sticks and they're having a lovely sing-along. It's a big family thing. When it has no more morsels, it finishes off with an onion or a bulb of garlic, again out of its back passage. In effect, the Tio is pooping out its tasty tricks, which brings us to its other name, the pooping log.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I think it's kind of cute.
It's gorgeous.
It is, you know. Catalonia is also the home of nativity scenes, which feature a guy defecating in the corner. He's called the Caganer, which means the pooper in Catalan. In 2005, the council in Barcelona decided to remove the Caganer from its public nativity scene display, and there were complaints to have him restored, and this was done the following year.
And so it should
That's be. Right, because the Barcelonians said, hey, you're messing up our tradition. Please don't remove our Caganer, because he's part of it. He's part of the nativity scene family.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
They should...
Kudos to you guys.
Absolutely. I've got no issues with a pooper at Christmas time.
Why not?
We've all got to do it. Absolutely.
Anyway, over to you, Trev.
Over to me, and my first one's actually a bit longer, but the rest of mine are really short, just to let you know.
I love this one!
And we are going over to Sweden, and to a particular town, actually, which I'll get to in a moment. Now, Sweden has a fine tradition involving a Yule goat. Yep, a goat. Many a Christmas tree in Sweden, Norway, and Finland are adorned with small straw goats.
Aww.
In more recent times, there were tales of Santa riding the Yule goat to deliver presents, rather than the more widely accepted sleigh theory. While no one is fully certain on the origins, the main theory is it evolved from a Scandinavian legend where two goats pulled Thor's chariot through the sky and often became his meal, as he knew they would come back to life the next day.
No, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
But specifically for this tale, I want to focus on the infamous Javla goat. On the 1st of December 1966, the construction of a giant straw Yule goat was completed in the town of Javla in Sweden. It was 7 metres long and over 12 metres high. It stood proudly in the town centre until 12 a.m. on Christmas Day, when a local burned it down and was subsequently charged with vandalism.
Hmm, poor goat.
Now, from this, a fine tradition was set, and nearly every year since, the Yavla goat has been rebuilt. However, the secondary, unofficial tradition was to try to burn down or otherwise destroy the goat before Christmas Day. In the intervening years, it has been burnt down, sometimes within hours of its construction, sometimes before it's even finished. It was collapsed after being hit by a Volvo in 1976. It was shot at with fireworks in 1997. An American tourist torched it after being convinced by locals that it was a legal part of the yearly tradition in 2001. He was subsequently arrested.
Oh, God.
In more recent times, they've set up webcams. Those webcams have been hacked in both 2004 and 2009. One year, when the fences were particularly effective, two men, one dressed as Father Christmas and the other as a gingerbread man, shot flaming arrows at it, and that was 2005.
Oh, God.
And there was even a kidnapping plot involving a helicopter that was foiled in 2010. Last year, for the 50th anniversary of the tradition, an extra-large goat was constructed on November 27, only to go down in flames later that same night. As at time of recording, this year's goat, completed on the 3rd of December, which has two security fences, 24-hour guards, and apparently additional security measures that are being kept secret, is still standing, mm-hmm. and speculation is already rising that it might actually make it this year.
Come on, Yavla goat! Come on!
I'm rooting for it, but...
I'm rooting for this. It's all the kids.
I'm also very curious that if it does go down, just how creative that might be.
Yeah, we've actually...
yeah, we've been watching the live stream.
We've got it on live stream 24/7.
We have that page permanently open on the other computer, so... All good.
We're really excited about the Yavla goat. He's part of our family now.
He is. And the more I talk about it away from here, the more other people are getting into it as well.
That's right. It's entered our vernacular and it's hilarious.
Okay, so where are we going after Yavla in Sweden?
Okay, we are going back to Europe here. Well, we're already in Europe with Sweden. We're going to Ukraine. Now, instead of baubles, families in Ukraine have spider webs as decorations, and it's extremely good luck if a spider weaves a real web in your Christmas tree. This relates to the story of the Christmas spider who, as the story goes, wove a web in the tree of a poor family. When the children woke up on Christmas Day, they found strands of the web had turned into gold and silver. This is attributed to St. Nicholas. Christmas is also celebrated in the Ukraine on the 7th of January as the main religion is Eastern Orthodox, and they follow the Julian calendar for their religious festivals. Their Holy Supper is eaten on the 6th of January, and no one is allowed to partake until the first star is seen in the sky. So they fast during the day and they're all waiting outside for the first star to come so they can go and have a beautiful feast together.
Lovely.
With their spiderweb Christmas trees. I love that idea.
Yeah, that's great.
I really want to put that in ours. Ours isn't up yet, people.
Shh. Maybe we can...
The weekend. We're doing it on the weekend.
Well, the Halloween decorations would be really cheap now. We could get spiderwebs. Super cheap.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Ooh, sorry, we're just playing. Oh boy, we probably should go back and focus on Slovakia.
Yay, Slovakia!
Now,
this is like Eurovision.
No, it's not like Eurovision. Please, no. In Slovakia, the main meal at Christmas time is carp. Fresh carp. Very fresh carp. The tradition involves purchasing live carp at least a day or two before it is to be prepared. The fish is then kept alive and cared for like a pet in the family's bathtub until the time comes to prepare the meal. I'm sure you can guess what happens to the festive fish at that point. Yep. Another fine Slovak tradition occurs during dessert of the big Christmas meal. The most senior man in the house will carefully take a spoonful of Loksa pudding and fling it up into the ceiling. The more of the pudding that sticks, the greater the fortune in the coming year, and I guess the more cleaning is required afterwards.
Yeah, I can just see someone flinging up a whole bowl full.
It specifies it's going to be a spoonful.
A big spoonful? How big's a spoon?
It doesn't specify what type of spoon.
Oh, you could have one of those big wooden ones.
Quite possibly. It may be a ladle. Ba-bing! I can't say for sure.
Oh, good on them. Yeah, I just don't like the cleaning up idea. That's it.
I guess it'll unstick eventually.
Oh, like a pancake. Okay, we're going to Iceland.
Ooh.
Yay! The Yule Cat is a beast that roams Iceland's villages looking for people who haven't received new clothes for Christmas. If they haven't, then they get their dinner eaten by the Yule Cat, and then they become the meal for this feline boss of the fashion police. And I will explain. The giant cat, which towers above houses, looks in the windows to see what people, especially children, have received for Christmas. And if they have received clothes, then they are safe. This story began in the Middle Ages and has been recorded since the 19th century, and says that children who do all their chores by Christmas Eve are rewarded with new clothes, and the Yule Cat only targets the lazy children, those who haven't done all their chores, thereby not getting any new clothes. It's not only the Yule Cat people need to watch out for, it's also the Yule Cat's owners too. Two trolls and their 13 children, known as the Yule Lads. So you better hope you get some new socks and do all your chores. It's also tradition for Icelandic children to leave a shoe on a windowsill during the 12 days of Christmas, where each night it gets filled with gifts and sweets. Hell yeah, I'm in for this place.
Shoe lollies.
Shoe lollies. Oh, Trev, did you have to go there?
Yes, I did.
You went there.
I went there.
You went. I went there. You went to the bad place.
Now, where I'm going now, though, from there, primarily, I guess, Germany, but this one is one that's actually spreading a bit recent times.
It is a bit.
So not all traditions revolve around fun stuff like gifts and sweets.
Even in their shoes.
Might get eaten by a cat. In Bavaria, parts of Germany, and in more recent years expanding into the USA particularly, the night of December 5th, or St. Nicholas Day's Eve, is when the Krampus, or Krampus,
very nice,
roams the street looking for delinquent children. So this is Krampusnacht. Now the word Krampus means claw, and the monstrous creature known as the Krampus is believed to have been derived from a clawed, horned pagan god who was eventually rolled into the Christian ideal of the devil.
I can see why.
The Krampus would roam the land looking for children who had been naughty, or were just out at night, and depending on the version of the story, would either take them to a hellish place to be punished, or just beat them with sticks until they swore they would be good. Looking at this in more modern times, it seems more like an excuse for people to get dressed up in outrageous costumes, get drunk, and then run around hitting people with sticks.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. There's some very interesting pictures on the internet of Krampusnacht celebrations.
Lots of different costumes, and yeah, they look like a cross between Lordy and Rob Zombie. Though I reckon those guys would actually be all part of it. Yeah, I reckon they'd be up for it.
Will not surprise me at all.
Okay, now, well, I'm going to the Netherlands here.
The Netherlands.
The Netherlands. The Dutch have a tradition of Sinterklaas and his servants, the Zwarte Pieten. Oh, God, I hope I pronounced that right. In English, as Santa Claus and the Black Peters, who arrive by steamboat in the Netherlands on the second Saturday in November. So they start really early. Dutch tradition states that Sinterklaas lives in Madrid, in Spain, and travels to the Netherlands, always disembarking in a different Dutch port so as many children can see him as possible. The procession travels with Sinterklaas, dressed in red robes, waving to the crowd atop a white horse, while other similar-dressed people hand out presents. Children are told that the Zwarte Pieten keep a book with their deeds done throughout the year, with good children getting presents from Sinterklaas, and bad children getting put in a sack by the Zwarte Pieten and taken back to Spain to be taught how to behave.
Ooh.
Oh dear. Hay and carrots are also left in shoes for Sinterklaas's horses in exchange for gifts, which are a singular Zwarte Piet will deliver via a chimney or open window on a weekly basis until December 5th, which is the main day for present receiving. Sinterklaas leaves for Madrid the following day, and on St. Nicholas's Day, children make surprise gifts for each other. The kids in the Netherlands get a double helping of Christmas, as on Christmas Eve, Santa Claus, or Kirstman, visits from Lapland with more presents.
That's a lot of presents. Yeah.
Gosh. Good on you, kids.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Great place for kids. I'm not too sure about how the parents will be feeling towards the end of that.
But, yeah, it's a beautiful big family tradition. Everyone gets together and lines the streets with waiting for Sinterklaas.
Awesome.
And it's just gorgeous.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. So the traditions discussed so far all have roots going back quite some time, in case in a lot of them, the origins of them are merely theorised about. So it seemed Finnish to finish with one tradition that has a clear and very well-defined starting point. Now, as Christianity accounts for about 1% of the population in Japan, where we're going now, Christmas has never been considered a national holiday. Despite this, there is one tradition that has taken hold, and that is having KFC for Christmas dinner. So how did this idea take hold? KFC first reached Japan's shores in 1970, and the manager of that first restaurant, Takeshi Okawara, had an idea for a party barrel pack after hearing some tourists complaining that they could not get any turkey for Christmas in the country. And apparently that's still true. You can't really get turkey in Japan.
No turkeys in Japan.
No. Now, this idea stayed on the back burner until 1974. Now, please excuse my pronunciation, any Japanese speakers out there. And this is when the Kurasumasu Niwa Kentucky, or Kentucky for Christmas campaign launched.
Beautiful.
I hope so. Not only did it include a special barrel of chicken, it also included a bottle of wine.
I'll be in that.
Backed by a massive TV advertising push, the campaign became a massive success, and KFC in Japan has not looked back since. If you want to partake in a Christmas KFC pack now, with packages that include such extras as champagne, wine, chocolate cake, and of course varying amounts of chicken, you'd better be prepared to wait. It is common to spend hours in a queue waiting to collect your Christmas chicken dinner. If you want to avoid the queues, then you better order in advance, up to 2 months in advance. It is estimated that a third of KFC's profits in Japan come from this Christmas tradition.
God, that's a massive slice for one day.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
the power of advertising.
Pretty impressive. I haven't actually gone through. I'm pretty sure I could find that original ad. If I do find that original 1974 ad,
I'll
put a link in the podcast description.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, actually.
It would be.
From a historical point of view.
I won't understand a word of it, but it'd be interesting. And so, that, our friends,
is that.
Yes, that wraps up What the History for 2017. Now, we will be back in the new year. Definitely keep an eye on our Facebook page. We'll be doing random updates of things and probably probably keep you in the know about the fate of the Yabla goat as well.
That's right.
Because we're watching that pretty closely.
Yeah, very closely. It's on the loop.
And if you do want to know anything more about what we've discussed tonight, all our references are down in the description just below. I am pointing downwards even though you can't see me.
Trev.
Yeah, well, you know.
You're a funny man.
That's right. And of course, if you have only just discovered What the History, you're probably very confused about what's happened tonight. But if you head to wthpod.rufusproject.com, you can check out all our previous episodes. You can subscribe to us on your favourite podcast app. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. We are getting out there. Search for hashtag WTHpod. And you'll track something of ours down pretty easily. If you want to get in touch with us, head to our homepage. You can leave comments on the episodes. You can head to our Facebook page, which is What the History Podcast. Or you can find us on Twitter at pod_what. And we have an email, which I better not forget, which is wthpod@rufusproject.com. Let us know what you think of the podcast.
Way to go, mate.
Yep. Let us know what your favourite episode's been.
Trev just rattled all those off without even looking at anything that's written down, which there isn't anything that's actually been written down. He just has us all in his head.
Well, I set them all up.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't. I keep asking you what our email address is.
Just tell people to search hashtag WTHpod.
Yes. Yes, What the History Podcast. We love you all.
Indeed. And thank you.
Like, we love the Yavla goat. We do love the Yavla goat.
I want some KFC now.
No, ooh. Sorry, guys. I don't like KFC.
We're not sponsored by KFC, either.
No, sorry. No.
And if we were, we probably wouldn't be anymore.
I don't like it. It's quite greasy for me. Yeah. I don't like it.
Well, that goes any case of a KFC sponsorship.
Do we really want to be sponsored by KFC, though?
Seriously, I'll be sponsored by just about anybody.
Except underpants people.
Well, we can always say we're wearing underpants.
I am wearing underpants.
Indeed.
This is an interesting conversation.
It is. I think we need to move on because it has been a very, very busy week.
Hey,
it's
Matt.
Still not over.
Matt, we're wearing pants, mate.
Oh, you shattered the illusion. He was probably imagining we weren't.
Well, I love you, Matt.
And so until next year, we're back in the new year. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
You just saluted everyone.
Yevla goats to all, however you celebrate.
And Christmas spider webs.
However you celebrate over this festive season.
Make sure you get close so the Yule cat doesn't come.
Yes.
Because that would be not good.
And check before flinging pudding at the roof.
Yes.
Your host may not appreciate it.
Yes. And say hi to Santa Claus and pat a Christmas carp.
And I would say look out for the Krampus, but he's already been, apparently, so...
Yes.
There we go.
Yes, yes. Sinterklaas has gone back to Madrid now.
Yes. Okay.
Yay.
See you guys next year.
See you later. Thank you so much, everyone, and Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Whatever
you celebrate, have a good one. Stay close to your friends and family. Check in on them. Lots of love to everyone.
Be safe.
And
have fun.
Please be safe. Please come back.
Have safe, be fun.
Have safe, be fun. Oh, dear.
We need to stop.
Mwah!
Bye.
See you next year. The season.